The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In Nehemiah chapter 9, we find a long prayer slash sermon that details the history of Israel and focuses upon their God, Jehovah. In the first few verses, they lift up the name of God and praise Him for His greatness. All worship, indeed, must begin with the greatness of God. There can be no worship without acknowledging how great He is and how feeble we are. Join us today for the conclusion of this sermon about the greatness of God.
O Lord my God, when I am mercy.
sun is a mere 93 million miles from the earth. And by the way, the earth is situated perfectly in order for life to be sustained. If it were any further away, we would all freeze. If we were any further, any closer up to the sun, we'd all burn up. Isn't it amazing how evolution and the pure physics and science of this world got us to this point, right? No, I tell you, we're going to see there's more to it than that. God is a creator, you see. Man is trying to take God out of the equation. They even talk about that the creation occurred with a big bang, that there was a minuscule amount of matter that exploded some billions of years ago, and that now is continuing to expand and creates all of this that we see around us. But you know, when you ask the question to some of the scientists that believe that, where did that matter come from? They don't know. They don't know. They have no idea. Stephen Hawking, one of the smartest men that ever lived, could not answer that question. Beloved, I can answer it. God saying, let there be light. If you want to call that the Big Bang, I'll go along with you on that one. But that's not the Big Bang they're teaching out there. Beloved, God is the creator. He created something out of nothing. And he meted out these heavens that we can't even fathom. We can't even count the billions of stars up there. He meted them out with the span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. You know, I've sat down before when I was a kid out in the driveway one day, maybe more than once, I can't remember, but I remember at least once, and I thought I'd start counting the gravel in the driveway, Brother Mackey. I thought that'd be good. One, two, three, you know. It was overwhelming. I mean, I don't remember where I got to. I just quit because it was a dumb idea in the first place. But that was gravel. You tell me how to count the dust. We live on a dirt road. We got dust in our house. I'd like to see my dear wife, who hates dust and goes to dusting, instead of dusting next time, I'm going to ask her to start counting the dust particles and just see how that goes. I can't even divide it up into those minuscule parts. I can't even tell it one dust particle from the other. And yet, God comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He didn't have to sit there and start counting, one, two, three. He just, in a measure, he got it all. He knows exactly, he comprehends, he understands, he gets exactly how much dust of the earth we have. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. This past week, as you know, Mason and I went out to Colorado to his new apartment out there, getting ready for him to move out there in August. As we drove across the plains of Kansas, it was flat, and then it started to be in some rolling hills maybe, and then suddenly in the distance we began to see this monolithic, just vague outline of something. And I said, Mason, look at there. There's the Rocky Mountains. And as we got closer and closer, the magnitude of those mountains became apparent. Now listen, I've seen the Smoky Mountains and they're amazing too, but those Rocky Mountains, we came upon the ones we could see clearly there in Boulder. You could see the Flatirons and others that were there clearly, but behind them were snow-capped peaks of all kinds of other mountains in that mountain range. I can't even imagine how There is no earth-moving equipment. There is no measuring scale on this world that can measure even one of those mountains there in the Rocky Mountain chain. God weighed the mountains in scales. Now, I recognize that some of this is probably symbolic language. I get that. He didn't just take a scale out there, I'm sure. But the point is that God is able. God can take those mountains. He could look at the mountain. He could just flick his finger, so to speak, and knock it down. Men had to blast their way through these mountains to put roads. God can just remove it with just one sentence from his mouth. He can remove it, you see. He is the Creator God. What an awesome God he is. You can keep reading there. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? He goes down in verse 17. He says, all nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And then he asks a question again. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He told us in the first commandment, he said, you're to have no graven images before me. You know why? You couldn't make an image that would capture the image of God. You can't do it. Over in Romans chapter 11, Paul exclaims this as he has reached and passed that great crescendo of the book of Romans. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Beloved, our God is the great God who has created all things. He is the creator God. But notice also as we continue here in Nehemiah, he is also the sustainer God. There are those that are called deists, and they claim that God sort of wound this earth up like a top and then set it spinning and left it alone. He pretty much created it and then left it and just to fend for itself. But notice in verse 6 again here, it says, he said, thou made the heaven of heavens with all their host. He said, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. That word preservest there literally means to keep alive, to keep alive. He is the one who keeps this place alive. He keeps his creation going. He preserves it, you see. He's the great sustainer God. We're told in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 3 that he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. Beloved, the saints of God are in the hand of God. We're told by Jesus that no man can pluck them out of his hand. He is not just saying that. He said, I am God. He said, my Father is greater than all. He said, and by the way, I and my Father are one. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. In Psalm 97 and verse 10, the psalmist writes, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Beloved, that gives me some hope here in this life that I am preserved in Christ. I am preserved in grace for eternity, but he also preserves me and takes care of me here and now. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, we're told, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Doesn't that give you a little comfort to know? You know, sometimes I get to thinking about this earth and space and the universe. And you know, it's kind of a scary thing when you just think about that apart from God. You think about the globe of the earth just hanging out here on nothing. You know, when you start thinking, one thing that blew my mind recently is somebody was basically critiquing some of these space movies like Star Wars and Star Trek and all that kind of stuff. And they said one of the big faults of the Star Wars and Star Trek dynasties there is that they think in linear terms. In other words, it seems like every time a spaceship is going out, it's going on this plane, and this one's on that plane, maybe going a different direction, but they always meet back up kind of on the same plane, when the truth is, if there were real space travel, they'd be going all over the place, because this is a globe, and every direction, 360 degrees, there's all kinds of stars and star systems out there, you see. That just kind of blew my mind, thinking about our Earth sitting out there on nothing. It's spinning at, I think, 11,000 some odd miles per hour, and it's going around the earth at a speed that ought to throw us off of it. If you think about that without God, it will terrify you. It will scare you to death. But I'll tell you, beloved, God, the eternal God, is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. When I was a kid, I got to thinking one time, what if I fall off the earth? Well, the beauty of it is that if you could fall off the earth, the everlasting arms are there, you see. His arms are our refuge. He is the sustainer God. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, very familiar passage, I'm sure, to most of you. He says in chapter 1, beginning there in verse 1, he said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now listen to the description of the Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. This is God the Son, not just God the Father. God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit were all active in creation. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen to that. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. That literally means to bear or to carry. He is carrying all things of this creation, you see. You turn sometime to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, and you're going to read that by him all things consist. And that literally means to hold together. Jesus holds all this universe together. He is the sustainer God. And finally here in chapter 9 and verse 6 of Nehemiah, he says that he's the one that preserves. He's the creator God. He is the sustainer God. And notice at that last part there, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. He is the great glorious God. The host of heaven worshipeth thee. Now, I don't know what all that means, okay? I know the angels worship him. I read where the stars sang. I don't know what all that means. I'm not going to pretend to stand here and explain all of it to you because I don't understand it all myself, but I just know this. If the host of heaven worships God, then that means he is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of my worship. Even the hosts of heaven worship him. You know, is that not what Isaiah basically taught us over in Isaiah chapter 6 in that time of great trouble and trial when the year that King Uzziah died and there was turmoil in their country, there was turmoil in their nation? What happened? You know, sometimes we have, and we're going through times now which seems like there's turmoil and trial in our country. What do we need? We need a political revolution? Do we need a patriotic revival of some sort? No. We need to see God high and lifted up. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah 6, he said, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And it goes on to describe the temple or the place there where he saw God. And listen to what it says in verse 3. And one cried, talking about these seraphim that were in there flying, they were these created beings, angelic beings, said, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Beloved, our God is holy, holy, holy. That's, I believe, to teach us there that our God is indeed a triune God. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. Beloved, he is holy, holy, holy. He is great and powerful and worthy of our praise. Now, I've described for you from the Scriptures our God who is so great and so mighty that in some ways he's a little bit scary. It would, if that's all we knew about him, and indeed that's what we saw in some of the ancient pagan religions, is those who may have been children of God that were quickened and made alive and didn't understand the details of what all had happened. They realized there was a great being out there, a God out there, and they began to create him of their own imaginations. And so they came up with Zeus, they came up with Jupiter, and both of whom were so much like men that they would even come down and have children with some of the women of this earth. And those children would be demigods like Hercules and others that you could name. And then you would see stories about how Zeus just enjoyed tricking men and would get angry and just zap people and kill them for no good reason. Well, listen to this in chapter 66 of Isaiah as we bring this to a close. See, our God is great. Now listen, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. Now listen, let me stop right there. This is God. He sits high in the heavens. He sits up on a throne. He is a great God. How could we possibly expect anything from him other than judgment and anger and some kind of destruction, because he is a God who can destroy? Well, let's not stop there. Let's go on. This great God who sits on the heavens says this: "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." The great God of all creation sits high in the heavens, and yet he looks low upon his children here in this world. The one who is poor and of a contrite spirit, the one whose heart has been quickened and made alive by the Holy Spirit, the one who sees himself as poor, weak, and worthless, that man can sing, "Poor, weak, and worthless though I am, yet I have an almighty friend." Jesus Christ is our friend, you see. He is a God who loves his people. He is great, yes. He has all power. He has the right, if you will, to do what he will with his creation. And yet he loves his people. We read about his people over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. We read that we are quickened who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And he talks about what we did that was so contrary to God, wherein we walked in time past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. And then it says, "But God." It doesn't say, "And so God destroyed us." He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." This God I've described could be a terrible God. He could be a scary God. But we know better. You know why we know better? We have the Word of God that teaches us that our God, this great God that sits high in the heavens, looks down low upon the people that he loved from before the foundation of the world. And therefore, his people, those who have been quickened and made alive, can come boldly to his throne of grace and expect to find their grace to help in time of need. I'm so thankful that our God is so great, but I'm so thankful that he loves his people with an everlasting love. Because a great God with no love would be a scary God. A God with all kinds of love but who wasn't great would just be a pitiful God. But we have a glorious God who has all power, and yet he loves his people so much that he sent his son to die on the cross to put away their sins. I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com. Or you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.